This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday Meditation. If you're new to meditation, then I hope to give clear guidance as to one form of meditation, mindfulness meditation. We use our ability to decide where to place attention. It's surprisingly easy to do. It's not so easy to do for a long period of time, but we don't have to try to make something the same through time, even though we will practice. We focus on actual experiences, sensations that we have, sensations of sounds, sensations in our bodies, for instance, the feel of the normal breath. The reason we take time to do this is focusing on these sort of sensations. Doing it for a while, the mind naturally becomes calmer, more clear, more steady, tranquil. And so this is something that happens. We don't have to try to make that happen. Where we put the effort is just this focusing, sustaining attention, as I will guide as we begin. And then even though it is simple and doable, nonetheless, we will fail at times, and we will fail spectacularly at other times where we just find it really difficult to keep the attention for any period of time at all. And instead, our minds are racing, one thought leading to another, or just an emotion very strong that's pulling our attention. So in mindfulness practice, when we realize this is what's happening, we have that opportunity to pay attention to what is happening right now. Okay, I was going to pay attention to my breath, but here I am, my mind is racing, I'm scattered, I'm freaked out, whatever. And we notice it. We notice what it is like in those moments. Even when our motivation to be interested in meditation at all was not to be so freaked out, it's like in those moments, we notice what it's like. I don't mean to make fun of being freaked out, or everyone's freaked out. We're humans, right? We're anxious. These are emotions. These are normal states. And even when it's very unpleasant, there is still this capacity to be aware, to recognize, to feel in our bodies what it's like to be anxious, for instance, and then indeed to bring the attention back to what we were doing before, just the feel of the breath. And so on the one hand, it's quite straightforward. It's simple and doable. And yet it remains an interesting challenge, right? Moment after moment. So we try to have a sense of humor. We do make effort. But we also are practicing in those moments when it seems like all our effort is futile, right? In that moment, we also pay attention, and then we find the breath again. So let's go. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in-breath and out-breath. Maybe even a sigh with the out breath. Letting the breath be normal. We'll come back to the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. Notice indeed how easy this is. We don't have to try to hear everything or keep track. We do not have to get rid of other things pulling at our attention. Just in the midst of what is happening, notice that you can decide to focus primarily on sensations of sounds as they come and go, moment after moment. Some may be pleasant, some may be unpleasant. So we don't have to fix anything, just noticing some of the sounds happening. Not trying to get something out of the sounds. It's much easier than that. Just the noticing, the awareness. So focusing on sounds is a fine way to meditate. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body, just noticing what you can feel. So we're shifting attention from what we can hear to what we can feel in our bodies, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Vibration, pressure, softness, so forth. So, no need to label the sensations, just that direct awareness. It's okay if there's labeling. As we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice, aha, there are some sensations, even with the normal breath, where we're not trying to breathe deeply. Just letting the breath happen. There are sensations typically in the abdomen, slight rising, tensing with the in-breath, falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. Likewise in the chest, slight movement, rising and falling. Also at the opening of the nose, the upper lip, sensations as air comes in. As air leaves. A very reasonable question, why in the world are we taking time to focus on these sensations that don't need to be paid attention to? The breath will take care of itself. And the answer is this simple mental activity, just this focusing of attention, sustaining the attention for a while, is a catalyst for more clarity, tranquility, stability of mind. So again, we don't have to try to figure out how to make that happen. Where we make the effort is just that patience, that willingness to try to see and see what happens. If the breath doesn't feel right, we can come back to sounds or focus somewhere else in our bodies, hands or feet, where there are sensations that are relatively neutral. Basically, meaning not painful. And then keeping in mind that try as we might, our intelligence in a way will kick in, right? And we'll kind of like, okay, I've done this for a couple minutes and we won't plan this, but our attention will just move to something that comes to mind, a thought, a worry, something on the to-do list. So just that recognition, thinking, planning, often emotion, recognizing the emotion, we can get in the habit of feeling the visceral, palpable component of emotions. Often in the torso, there are sensations that are just a normal part of anxiety and so forth. So it's a kind of a free space just to be aware, to be real. And then without having fixed anything, just gently coming back, gently yet definitely coming back, maybe the next in-breath. So we don't have to be in a hurry, but we're kind of there is that's that spirit of vigilance. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. So for the last couple minutes of this meditation, I would invite you to practice compassion if you wish. If you aren't inclined to, that's fine, of course. The practice of compassion in the spirit of the practice of loving kindness or joy, we use our minds, we use thoughts. It's a very simple practice. Just if someone comes to mind who is in trouble, who is suffering some way, just kind of recognize they've come to mind, why they've come to mind, and then just meet that image, that thought with, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering, may you be safe. So words like that, phrases like that, maybe just repeating them with the person in mind. And so it's a gentle practice. It also involves a sort of willingness to recognize the suffering and to also maintain a certain equanimity. And the phrases can help, just that recognition of these wishes. May you be free from suffering. May you be happy. May you be safe. Phrases like that. If you feel like you're kind of getting wrapped up in it too much, just recognizing that, coming back to the breath again. So it'll take about 30 more seconds. So thank you. It's good to practice with you. Practice of compassion is, as I just mentioned, is a good complement to the simplicity of the basics of mindfulness. It can be useful kind of at various times in the middle of a meditation. Your mind might be drawn to someone who's suffering in some way. So just kind of in a few seconds or more of just that reflection can be very useful in our practice. It also can be just practiced on its own. And it also can be useful in the midst of daily life. It's in a way, it's not for the faint of heart, because there is a part of that practice, which is that willingness to bring one's heart into it by, recognizing the suffering. And there's obviously it is sometimes we have to recognize it. It's part of our life. There's someone we're close to where we're caring for them and so forth. So it can be very useful and interesting practice. I find it to be kind of important part of my own practice. And it is kind of compassion, recognizing suffering is a sort of love that is accessible in an interesting way. Martin Luther King Jr., one of his, my favorite quotes from him is, quote, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too heavy a burden to bear. And I like the quote unquote. Pretty sure that's accurately attributed to him. And I like it in part because it's kind of got that vibration of, I've actually considered this, you know, maybe I won't stick with love, right? He in his sermons, which I have paid some attention to over the years, you know, he liked to talk about loving one's enemies and what that meant. And I think he kind of changed his theme over the years. For me, this sort of practice of compassion is something that one can do even with someone we regard as an enemy. And indeed, it can be, whether it helps them or not, I don't know. I don't assume it does, but it definitely can help me relative to those attitudes of anger, resentment, fear, and so forth, just to like recognize the suffering and wish them freedom from suffering. And it doesn't require, I've talked about this before, it doesn't require any sort of sweet feeling, right? Sweet feelings are great, but this is a sort of hardcore love, which is like, yeah, I see your suffering. May you be free from suffering, even while I continue to not like them very much. It's a very interesting practice. We normally wouldn't practice it with ourselves in mind. So when we notice our own pain, our own suffering, just kind of the basics of mindfulness are better there. Just that recognition of what it feels like and so forth. But very interesting sort of practice for your consideration. And it's also kind of, it gives us the opportunity to recognize that as we practice, we're not assuming that we have everything worked out in our own minds, to say the least. And even to get a practice, to practice on our own, we don't have to have perfect conditions in our own minds or in our own environment. We want to have pretty good conditions, right? But we're never going to get it quite perfect. Which reminds me, I need to correct something that I said last week when I was kind of blithely advising parents to meditate in front with their children nearby, just as an example for them. Later, I realized, man, that's dumb advice to give. It's like, as a parent, if you are a parent or live with children, you have every right to kind of have your own solitude. And that may be a very important part of your practice, just to shut the door, lock the door, ignore the screams, ignore the banging on the door, just meditate for yourself, right? You see my point. And then maybe just a little bit of like meditating with their in their presence so they can see that, oh, you know, not trying to convert them to do it, but just to kind of give it as an example. Like, oh, this can be done. Maybe play an app where they can hear it. So we don't have to hide the meditation from them. That was my point last week. And some kids will take it in ways where we may never know, and they may never know exactly what happened, but they get it. They get something out of the instructions, even when it's not intended for children. Anyway, correction made, right? It's part of having the right conditions is taking that time for yourself. And I guess in the spirit of that, I'm going to be going on retreat again. I didn't plan this speech to make get there, but here we are. Here we are. I did a couple of weeks, November, December, and I have kind of the opportunity to do five or 6 weeks now. So Juan Sanguesa will be leading the meditations on Monday. Some of you know him from last fall. Thank you, Juan, for being willing to do it. And I will be meditating. I do practice what I preach, and If that's is some sort of background encouragement, then good. I still find it very interesting. This I practice the basics of what I teach as the foundation, and the exploration of what happens, when we just bring this clarity of attention to the breath, to our bodies. That deepening of concentration remains a very interesting to me, and likewise, kind of that exploration of what sort of freedom is possible as a human being. So I've done this many times in the past, going back to the late 1980s, actually. Indeed, when I was in grad school back in those days, I took some risks with my professional career as it was. I didn't expect it to be much of a career, so it didn't seem like that big a risk. But I definitely spent 5 months in a silent retreat in Myanmar. Did an even longer retreat later. So I appreciate having the opportunity to do it, and I'll see you in March. Yep, take care.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.